The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And this thing is on.
This one too.
Am I on?
You're on. I'm on.
Lewis,
are you on? You got to push your own button, sir.
Wait, on is on?
Yeah, how many times have you done this before?
I got it.
Come on.
Got it.
We are pushing buttons.
Push the button.
It's the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors are back in the house along with our buddy Lewis from Mac Media Inc. to talk technology as we do every Saturday afternoon.
Mac Media Inc. sounds like a tattoo shop.
Kind of professional.
You ever been to their place?
He actually does do tattoos.
Yeah,
Electronic
right.
Tattoos.
They got a MacBook or something that they modified and hacked and jailbroke, and it does automatic tattoos or something. It's weird.
But it's not really for people. It's for their technology.
Oh, for technology.
Right. Yeah, you tattooed my iPad. Thank you very much. We're here to talk with you about whatever it is you want to talk about. We, of course, bring stuff that we want to talk about. At the end of all this, we are hoping that you might learn something from this.
Would you get like a tramp stamp or...
Did I? Yeah, on the back of my iPad.
Yeah.
That's good.
Nice.
Today's
That's manly.
Theme, the theme du jour, is a camera phone craziness. Or, as I restated on my Twitter feed earlier, was camera phone palooza.
Camera phone palooza. I think it has to be slammed into one word somehow.
Phone a palooza? Mm-hmm. I did it both ways. It didn't work. Irregardless, which is maybe not a word. We are going to try to give you some new things that you can do, some ideas, some tips and tricks surrounding your camera phone that you may not have realized you can do. It does a whole lot more than just take pictures.
Like what?
I know.
Wait a minute. It does more than take pictures?
Yes. Camera phone can do a lot more than just take pictures.
I'm trying to think what else it can
Stay tuned for hour number two to find out exactly what I mean. Not. Hey, let's talk about a couple of things that happened this week. There, I mean, a lot of tech news going on this week. Yeah,
you're clapping
because it was
Ken is like a giddy young girl, except for minus the girl part and the young part.
I am because there's so many cool things to talk about this week.
Okay,
there was a little tiny, teeny bit of noise out of Cupertino, California this week.
Yeah,
our friend Steve Jobs held a huge press conference. Right,
big whose secret. Friend exactly?
Ours.
Uh huh.
To announce that iTunes was getting a new logo.
That is pretty huge.
No more CD.
Yeah, that was one of the more, one of the bigger things that they talked about, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, because iTunes, most people associate with downloaded content at this point, or at least MP3s and those kinds of things, and maybe television shows and movies.
Yeah, in music.
But certainly the CD or the DVD, that's the last thing you think of, but that's part of the logo, and it's been for years, so...
Was part of the logo. Now it's just nondescript.
Well, we're going to have to update our stuff then because we still have the old one, I think.
But here's what I want to know. Music's like one of the least significant parts of iTunes now. You know, it's movies and television shows and
so they should
podcasts.
They should unname it from iTunes to something else while they change the logo.
You would think.
Call it like iMedia or something
at least
silly.
That's one of the things that Chris Perillo's ranting about. You had the opportunity.
And yet we still have a note on the icon.
Well, yeah.
It's still a music note.
So maybe that's
and it's still called Tunes.
Tunes.
So if you were on your Facebook account and you friended us during the actual press conference that I was watching, which by the way you could only watch if you had an Apple product, you had to have an iPhone, an iPad, or a Mac operating system of some sort to be able to watch the press conference. No Windows allowed.
Well, unless you waited 10 minutes, in which case you could watch it on anything you wanted, right?
No, actually, if you went to like Ustream and some of these other places, people were rebroadcasting it
right.
for all to see.
So it's like a little small, like 10-second delay, but you still get to see it.
Exactly.
Right.
So as the announcements were being made, I tried to take screenshots and post them to our Facebook page. And you know, there's a few things out there that if you want to see kind of what I was thinking as it came out, you can scroll back a little bit on the Facebook page to see that. But to me, the only thing that came out of that press conference that actually, I'm thinking about the people that listen to the show. How many of them are going to care that you can get a iPod Shuffle for $49? Well, you know, you want a cheap Christmas gift, but I mean, the iPod's becoming kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, but what about the new Nano? Touchscreen and
great. The only thing in
40% smaller.
The only thing in the iPod line that I think has real relevance is the iPod Touch is now essentially an iPhone 4 without the phone part.
Right, meaning they put in the stuff that's been missing for a long time, like speakers, like a camera, like
front facing camera as well. So you can do
facing,
so you can do FaceTime and all that. So, I mean, it's exactly if you've got Wi-Fi near you. You can use Skype, you can use whatever else, and use it like an iPhone.
Yeah, the speaker thing is really, and the microphone thing is bigger than you think, because you think about all the things that you can't do without speakers and mic. You have to have a headset.
Well, they had those on some of the previous models, but just not the earlier models.
Right.
And if you think about it, there's a very small sliver of the world out there that either doesn't have an iPhone and wants one and doesn't want to pay for it, therefore the iPod Touch makes sense, or they're going to graduate from a smaller iPod to one of the... It's a very small number of people that are really going to get excited and go out and buy that. The one that really that I think is going to have the most impact on everybody listening here is I think Apple's figured out a strategy to make it easy for the average Joe to stream internet content to their big screen TV. I think they're trying to head off the pass before Google really kind of gets their Google TV going. So they lowered the price of Apple TV from $299 to $99, and then they took out all of the syncing and all the complexity, which anybody that has Apple TV now is going, that's insane. What do you mean they took out syncing and storage? I don't want to have to rent everything.
Well, and one of the first things Steve said was people don't understand what syncing is.
Right. So the hardcore Apple TV users are all complaining. In fact, a few people have complained on our Facebook page, like, no storage. That's crazy. But really what Jobs is trying to do is make this usable by the masses, both in price and in functionality.
And those of you who have Apple TVs existing, please, that means you're like you're at the extreme end of the technology curve, and don't think that there won't be hacks to add storage to these things very quickly.
Geek alert. It's about a quarter the size. You don't have to have a computer or anything. It's just basically a Wi-Fi enabled device that basically allows you to take anything that's happening on the web and stream it to your television, including your pictures, your music, your whatever's going on. They also have a deal with Netflix and with ABC and Fox. You'll be able to rent high-definition television shows for 99 cents. So is this the beginning of pay-per-view, get rid of your cable, just pay for what you actually watch? Also, they'll be streaming first-run high-definition movies that you can rent for $4.99. So they're going to get in there and compete with the cable companies and the DSL providers. And it's interesting. So, if anybody's going to go in there and kind of go toe-to-toe with the cable companies and what have you, I would think that Jobs is the guy. I mean, he understands the combination of the easy-to-use device and the content, easy access to the content. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll see that in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, they said the end of September probably.
Needless to say, as soon as they're available, we'll be playing with them and telling you, where in the spectrum is this the, grandma can use this, or is this going to be fairly nerdy still, or, what's involved in setting it up and using it, and is this for you or not?
Well, and you're right, too. The biggest thing about that is the new, instead of syncing, you have the ability to use airtime, and then... That's one of the new features that they added into it.
Yes, lots of interesting things. So,
what does all this have to do with camera phone craziness?
It doesn't.
I'm confuzzled.
I told you next hour we're going to help you.
The whole next hour we're going to deal with camera phone
Jess,
stuff?
Jess, only kidding.
Well, and they're going to update the iOS as well. So
let's go to break here, and when we come back, we will start talking about some very cool things you can do with your camera phone that you may not realize you can do. It's the Computer Corner, back right after this. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. By the way, programming notes. As a result of us not communicating to each other, Brennan and I found ourselves both on the road for next week's show. And we both found ourselves in our travel plans in, of all places, New York City.
We were actually both going to be like a state or a half a state apart, but... it's when you're there, it's like 15 minutes away, so...
But, I mean, everything happens for a reason. Next Saturday is 9/11. We have the honor and privilege of actually being there to experience the commemorative, functions that are going on, the events and what have you. And then we actually get to broadcast from New York back here to Phoenix. And we'll kind of keep you posted on what we saw. We'll take pictures. If you're a Facebook fan, you'll see that throughout the morning. We'll post anything and everything we can, video, pictures, our thoughts. I'm tickled pink that this happened the way it did.
Yeah.
I'm just honored that we're going to be able to do this. So
works just dandily. You just show up at your regular time and place, and we'll be here.
You do that. And then just an additional programming note, the week after that, due to the Cardinal football game, we are going to be preempted. So we get a well-deserved day off on the 18th.
Yeah, I'll still be out of town.
Hey, you know what else? the 18th, I'm going to be traveling back too. But anyway, we actually get a two-day weekend this weekend.
We do. Which is fantastic.
That's amazing, huh? All right, so smartphones, camera phones. I mean, who'd have thunk, I guess the very, very first camera phone picture that was distributed was a gentleman by the name of Philippe Kahn. Those of you that are old-timers, remember Borland? Philippe Kahn was the maverick software developer that created the Borland line of software. He would always show up at the big conventions in his Hawaiian shirt, and, you know, he was just one of those guys. Well, he apparently, when his child was born in 97, sent out a real crude picture from some device that he was working with that was basically that he's been tagged as the first one to actually distribute a camera phone picture.
It was back in 1997, so he'd be the great grandfather of the camera phones.
Well, actually, the great 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 grandfather apparently had something going back in 1973, but So that some of that information is posted on our website as well. But just in general, of course, you can take pictures with any camera phone, and the resolution quality has gotten so good. In fact, one of the things that I did is I took and I love taking pictures with my iPhone. It's a 3GS. It's a 2 megapixel camera, which I can remember the very first Kodak digital camera that we had.
Yeah.
It was 650K or something. I mean, it was
like half a megapixel kind of deal.
Yeah, 640 by 480 was max resolution.
And it was, you remember the old Polaroid cameras? Remember how big and clunky those were? This thing was a little larger than that.
It's crazy. And you press the button and it said, hang on. Got it.
Click. And then after you took the next 8 shots.
Done.
You had to offload all the stuff.
You had to shake it really hard to get the pictures out too. Anyway, a lot of people get caught up on megapixels. Right now, the top-end camera phones have an 8-megapixel camera. And you know what? It has very little to do with picture quality. And you will see, if you look at the gallery that's on the Facebook page, and it's also linked on the website, you'll see just a plethora of pictures I've taken with a 2-megapixel iPhone camera. Everything under the sun. You'll see that I like desert scenery and adult beverages. That's pretty much the theme of all my pictures. Landscapes and food and wine.
What else is there to take pictures of?
Pretty much. Oh, and more importantly, this week, the story in Time magazine about people that don't drink tend to live shorter lives than people that drink moderately or drink heavily.
They're talking about drinking Pepsi, or what are they talking about?
No adult beverages.
Huh.
Alcohol. What better timing for a news story like that than the weekend before Labor Day weekend? Or the week before Labor Day weekend, right?
I'm pretty sure.
So go out there, folks, and live a long life, is what I'm saying, I guess. Time magazine says it's okay. So in addition to taking pictures, you can now take video on most. And in fact, some of the newer phones have a 720p high-definition video capability.
Well, yes, my phone does.
Yes. Yes, it does. And then because these smartphones are so smart, you can take pictures of things like barcodes, and you have a barcode scanner built in if you have a smartphone and you have the software loaded. So like Red Laser is a great little app that if you're shopping around for something, you can shoot the barcode with your camera phone. It reads the barcode, figures out what the product is, and then it looks to see if somebody else has it near you for a better price. How's that for a better use of a camera phone?
Okay, see, so I was trying to figure out what you were talking about by a camera not being a camera. I think I'm starting to get what you're drifting at me.
Wait, there's more. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that workshop that we did last Saturday. We had a lot of great people come out. Also talk about SCORE, who's helping us get these campaigns together. They need your help as well. So when we come back, we're going to talk to SCORE a little bit about what they need from you out there, especially you that have been in business and are out there retired playing golf and you want to give back. We're going to give you a way to do that. So stay tuned for that. We're going to have Annette Raines on from SCORE to talk about that. But, of course, it's all about Camerphone-a-palooza. Almost got that in.
You almost did get that in.
It's the Computer Corner, the Data Doctors, and Lewis from Mac Media here to talk about camera phones and all the fun. Stay tuned. It's Camera Phone Palooza, or Camera Phone Apalooza. Potato, potato. E or no E. We don't care here. It's the Computer Corner. Data Doctors in the house. Ken Colburn, Brandon Disney. Along with our sidekick from the Mac world, Lewis from Mac Media Inc.
How do you like being known as the sidekick?
I guess it works. I only have 5%, right, Ken?
Well, it's better than getting kicked in the behind.
5%? That's more than me.
Yeah, we're still on the 5% deal. Some of you came out and visited with me last Saturday morning. We had a workshop, a social media 101 workshop in conjunction with SCORE in the city of Phoenix. And we're going to be doing that again, by the way, on November 20th. And we'll kind of keep you posted on that as time comes on. We're going to get a much bigger venue because we apparently had too many people. We had room for 200 and that wasn't enough. So we've got a venue apparently that can hold 400 for the next go around here. So if we can't try to help some folks out with the world of social media when it comes to their business. Joining us now is Annette Raines from SCORE to talk a little bit about that and more importantly about SCORE needs your help. Is that right, Annette? Oh, wait a minute.
Yes, we're currently looking.
You've got her on speaker. Put her back on hold. Push hold.
Hang on.
All we've got to do is just hold the mic up to
try
the speaker.
How about we try this again, Annette? I'm going to push the button because Ken can't.
I didn't realize I can't push it on my phone. I put you on speakerphone here in the studio. Nobody else in the world could hear you, but I could hear you.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that. So Annette Raines from SCORE, tell us about what's going on and what SCORE needs.
SCORE needs your help in being a volunteer within the organization. We have several different levels at which you can volunteer, and I apologize for that.
Which part, the volunteering part or the phone?
The phone.
The calls are already coming in.
Now,
call phone's ringing.
So when you say you're not talking about me because I'm already volunteering. I'm already signed up to be an ambassador. We're looking for more folks that can. Well, first of all, explain what SCORE is. What's SCORE all about?
SCORE's primary vision is to help businesses launch, grow, and expand. And that's generally a small business, someone who has a great idea or a fantastic product that they want to figure out whether or not it'll sell, whether or not that they can be of service to the rest of the world.
Humanity, of course. So SCORE is made up of a bunch of volunteers. What's the profile of these volunteers?
They can be basically just about anybody, such as yourself, who's an ambassador who goes around talking about SCORE and promoting it on a wide basis, versus an actual counselor who sits down and talks with people who have these ideas, who vet them out, find out what the business plan is going to look like, who their customer target market is, you know, get into the real nuts and bolts of how to build a business and the best way to make that happen.
So anybody that's currently in business that would like to volunteer and help other business people out, or those folks that have retired. I know SCORE used to actually stand for something that specifically
Service
talked
Corps
about.
Of retired, yeah, Service Corps of Retired Executives. That's what it used to stand for.
Right.
They're rebranding themselves and opening themselves up. Retirement people are fabulous counselors because they have the time. They have a wide breadth of experience. And we're also looking to rebrand and bring in some people who are not necessarily retired but have a wealth of experience within the business arena that they can help somebody else out that's, you know, just starting.
Okay, and so that's how I got involved with you guys, because I wanted to try to help specifically in technology. And right now, social media, I think, is the biggest need for most small businesses. There's so little understanding about that. And that's, I think, why we had that crazy turnout last Saturday. November 20th, right? It will be the next SCORE Social Media 101, right? So if you're one of those out there going, okay, I'm tired of saying that's crazy and it's a fad. I realize the social media thing's not going away. What do I do now? And so that's what this workshop's all about. So how do people say, hey, I'd like to volunteer and be a counselor at SCORE? How do they go about doing that?
They can start off on the SCORE Phoenix org website. That's www.score, S-C-O-R-E, and then the word Phoenix, P-O-E-N-I-X.org.
Okay, so scorephoenix.org. And,
yes, on the left-hand side in the navigation bar is a button that says Become a Volunteer.
Okay. All right, all you folks out there, thanks, Annette. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in and letting everybody know. Everyone out there listening, do your part. The world and the economy is such that we all need to pull together here. And I can tell you, when you give back to the community like this and you help other people out, it's incredibly gratifying. It's really, really good. So if you're looking for something to do to try to help what's going on out there, there you go. Score.
Another thing you could do is you could get your own radio show and help that way, because that's pretty gratifying.
Yeah, but that happened by accident 15 years ago.
I know, and it's not easy to do.
And I just went onto the website and just signed up for the mailing list, which was...
They have something like 8 or 10 events a month.
So wait, but the only thing I'm wondering, I mean, their focus is a little narrow. They're only looking for people who are interested in growing their business or expanding their business or launching their business. So, yeah. I mean, that's hardly anybody interested in that, right?
All right, anyway, let's get back to the camera phone discussion, and we're going to go to actually the phones, right?
Sure, we can do phones.
Let's start with that, and then we'll come
back. Should we give out the phone number so people know how to call us on the phones?
We didn't even have to, and it filled up the board, didn't it?
Tell you what, if you're interested in calling, the number, 602-277-5827, that is the line we have, I think, one open and available, and that's where we'll start with who's been hanging out there the longest. I think Richard, who's been hanging the longest. Richard, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Thank you. You guys have talked about the number of processes running at startup. If you have too many, it makes your computer slow. I'd like to know what the proper number is, and also how do I go in and get rid of the ones I don't need.
So you've asked two questions, neither of which we'll probably be able to answer very well, other than to say that. So
the first one's a little easier.
Well, what's a good number? It depends on a lot of factors. It depends on what operating system you're running. So if you're running Windows XP, it's different than Windows Vista, which is different than Windows 7. It depends on if your machine is a laptop or a desktop. It varies a ton, and it also depends a little bit on how you use the machine and how much of the quote-unquote conveniences you have to have.
But let's see if we can try to at least give you a ballpark here. You have a Windows XP desktop or laptop?
Desktop.
Okay. So if that machine was in our stores, we're going to do our very best to get the processes. When we go through our service process and cleaning everything out, we're going to do our very best to get it into the mid to upper 30s at the highest. That's what we're shooting for. Now, there could be things that you have to load that require you to have, 40, 42, doesn't matter. But when you get into 60, 70, 80 processes, for sure it's time. You got to get the urge to purge. The second part of this of how do I do this?
Right.
How do I get the stuff cleaned out that I no longer want?
I don't even think in the next hour and a half we could tell you, because there's so many variables that are involved. So I've written several columns on that. If you look at our free help section, datadoctors.com/help, in the search engine, just type the word processes. And it kind of outlines the process that we go through, which is basically identify everything that's running. We do this every day, so we can identify things just by looking at it and go, okay, that's valid, that's not valid. And there's also things like blank entries, and there's all kinds of things that will tell you, okay, maybe I've got spyware, maybe I've got malware, maybe I've got a worm or a Trojan. So there's a lot of sophistication in here. It kind of gets into a little bit of brain surgery. If you're willing to do the work and you want to go look up every single process that you've got running so you can figure out what it is and then figure out how to get rid of each one, because like every one of them has a different process to get rid of them. Some of them you can uninstall the program. Some of them you got to run a malware cleanup. Some of them you have to go into the registry manually. So that gets into what we do for a living, and that's it's unfortunately not one of these ABC deals.
Now, Ken did allude to something that's not going to be a one-size-fits-all fix, but it can get you started down the path, and that is to identify, go into your control panel, the add remove programs, identify stuff that you just don't use, things that you installed on a whim or things that came with the computer, and you can start uninstalling those things. That'll get you started, but that's only going to be a start. That's probably going to clean up maybe a small portion of what you've got. After that, you've got to really just identify what you've got, what's needed, what's not, and then
let me ask instructions. When you turn your machine on, is it taking like 3.5 days for it to start?
No. My wife was having a problem with it here this last week, and it just got to be to where it was taking a long time to go from one page to another.
Okay, and that could be that
DSL and.
Anyway, that could easily be, for instance, AOL software is notorious for causing processor lockups and all kinds of crazy. So that's a whole other process of when it's acting real slow. You can also do the control alt delete, get the task manager up there and actually look at the processes that are eating up CPU cycles. So there's a lot of sophistication. There's a lot of stuff that you know, if you really want to get up to speed on it, there's a lot of information both on our website and out on the internet as well, if you really want to kind of dive into that. But yeah, those are all good indicators that you probably want to have it looked at by somebody that understands this, or do it yourself if you want to go through the process.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thanks.
Hey, good luck with that. By the way, folks, Control-Alt-Delete. Just start the machine up from scratch. Do a Control-Alt-Delete right after you started it, and that should either bring up the task manager or give you the option to bring up the task manager. Look in the bottom left-hand corner. That tells you how many processes are running. Anything over 40, 45, you probably should have somebody at least take a look at it. Yeah?
Yeah.
For sure.
Agreed.
Yes.
We're going to take a time out here.
Let's do that.
When we come back, more of your calls, more of your questions, more about camera phone craziness, or as Ken likes to call it.
We're camera phone palooza.
Camera phone palooza.
Tilt shift coming up. Stay tuned. It's camera phone palooza here on the Computer Corner. The data doctors are in the house.
That gets smoother and smoother each time. Ooh, it's nice outside.
Isn't it? Hope you're enjoying your Labor Day weekend. Again, the programming note, we have the grand pleasure of broadcasting from New York next Saturday, which, if you haven't done the math, it's 9/11. So, and we're going to focus on the notion of cyber terrorism. We're going to try to explain the realities and the myths and the facts of this much overused phrase. We thought that might be an appropriate subject. We're going to be in New York and commemorating the 9/11.
Are we going to talk about cyber beheadings in the desert? Or
no, we'll leave that to others that have access to the radio waves. There are some really cool, inexpensive programs out there for your camera phone that allow you to do some really amazing things with your pictures after you take them. Okay, so we're going to talk about a couple of those right now. Now, unfortunately, if you have an iPhone, you have the whole world's attention, and there's a lot of great apps. If you're on Android, you're going to have to wait for a lot.
They're coming.
They're coming, but you're going to have to wait for a lot of these. So in the case of the first one, we're going to talk about what they call tilt shift. It's a process that basically allows you to use software to change the focus of something in a picture. And you can literally take a picture of a landscape and make it look like it's a miniature railroad train kind of setting. I mean, it's almost like it's a
really cool technique in photography. If you've got a little time, go to YouTube and just type in tilt shift.
You don't have to. You can just go to facebook.com/datadoctors.
We have everything YouTube has?
Yeah.
Wow.
All of it. No, I actually just uploaded an example of the tilt shift, the process itself. So you can kind of see it's right on our Facebook page. And more importantly, the software for the iPhone to be able to do this is free. And that's one of the links on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see all the resources and all the stuff that we're going to talk about, and probably stuff we're not going to talk about because we're going to run out of time. There's that many things that we've posted up there that are really cool for camera phone users. So if you don't have an iPhone and you'd like to do that with your camera phone images, I also have a link to an online resource where you can do it after the fact. So you can upload the picture to this website and do the tilt focus or the tilt shift effect, play around with it, and then save it and download it back to your computer. And so it's not like you have to have an iPhone to do this. The other one that's really cool that's on that list is called Blend Cam, where you can actually take two different pictures and kind of blend them together. And I'll upload a picture I played around with last night that I took a picture of my wife's recipe that she was making for dinner, and then the filet mignon or whatever it was that she had behind, or that it was part of the meal. I made that the secondary, so it was like the recipe book and then the hunks of meat in it. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but it gives you an idea of what you can do with
it's
this.
It's a cool idea. It seems like you need a little bit more ability to tweak that stuff in there.
Well, and part of it is I'm still learning how all this stuff works.
Right.
And so I'm just trying to show, and earlier in the week I posted three pictures of the Doolin Camaros, the Camaro twins. The original, a tilt shift where it was a circular, and then a linear. And so that's all on there as well. If you scroll back on our Facebook page, you can see lots of different examples of some of these things. The bottom line is all of the tools that we've discovered that we're playing with on our own phones, we've created a list of those links right on datadoctors.com/radio. Just run through those, click on the links. Most of the applications are going to be for iPhone. Some of them are for Android, that kind of thing. Some of them are just online. But they're very, very cool. And I don't believe, with the exception of the Tilt Shift, which I think was 99 cents.
Yeah, the rest are all freebie apps.
The rest are all freebies.
You know, but, you know what we forgot to put on there is Color Leap.
Didn't I put it on there?
I don't see it. You know what I do see?
No, it's on there.
I do see two exactly the same links to Ken's camera phone gallery.
Well, that's how good it is.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. You get it about the fourth one down, and then you get it at the very bottom again. So
Correct. I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm proud of my stuff.
Right. Okay.
Hey, it was getting late, and, you know, we had all this new. By the way, if you haven't been to our website, you'll notice Brandon's handiwork. He reskinned the website. He's been working on this for, I don't know,
a few minutes.
10 minutes or so.
Yeah. A year. So we're trying to slowly move our website to something a little newer, cooler, and you'll see a lot of new features and options coming up here shortly.
We got it updated to look like the 80s now, so we're getting there.
80s?
Well,
speaking of the 80s.
The 80s called, they want their website back?
No, but we do have our Geek Speak of the Week coming up, which is kind of an homage to the 80s every week.
Because of the music.
Of course.
I'm trying to figure out where I'm not with it today.
Stay
apparently.
With me here. Of course, you can call in with your calls and questions about anything to do with technology. And we'd love to hear from you if you found some piece of software for your camera phone that you really love and that you use a lot. Either post it on our Facebook page, call in, interact with us somehow.
What if you're a pro? Like, we know this guy that's kind of a pro photographer. He's probably laughing at all the things that we're talking about because he's like, well, why don't you just shoot it right in the first place?
Because we are using 99 cent and free apps.
Right.
One of those
Bankinator. He's not listening. He doesn't listen to the show.
You know what? You'd be surprised. He stocks.
602-277-5827. One line open if you want to call in on that. When we come back, we've got our Geek Speak of the Week. We've got some business focuses. We've got some lots more for you to learn about your particular world of technology, including... What if you forgot to log out of your Facebook account when you left the office? What can you do about it?
Oopsie.
When we come back, we're going to actually tell you exactly what you can do about it. It's the Computer Corner, the Data Doctors, and Lewis from Mac Media back after a short break.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We're talking about, well, whatever you want to talk about, but we also are bringing a little love for camera phone users. All the different things you may or may not have known you could do with your camera phone. Join us online, won't you? datadoctors.com/radio. From there, you can link over to our Facebook page where you can throw stuff at us like Ross did.
Hey, Ross. Ross does have a point. He says Ken posted up an example of a tilt shift photo doing some After Effects stuff on the phone. And Ross says, that looks like crap. But he does have a point. I see no real application for this except perhaps to drop out excessive detail in the background.
And that's because, Ross, you have an example from somebody that did a very poor job of explaining what tilt shift is, obviously. So I'm gonna be putting a link up there so you can see what a real deal tilt shift artist can do.
Right. If you spend some time and effort, you can actually do some really cool stuff with tilt shift photography.
We'll show you what that's about. We'll see if we can win you over, but if not, whatever. All right, before we go on, it's time for...
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
A little weird science segment. It's our Geek Speak of the Week, where we bring you a term in the vernacular of tech. try to educate you a little bit. We try to focus on more business-related items in the second hour whenever we can, and so this week's Geek Speak of the Week is really specifically designed to help all you small businesses out there that are still trying to figure out what's this internet thing's all about.
And it really isn't that weird.
It's not weird.
No.
No, but how many times have you said PPC to somebody and they said, what's that mean?
I say ask your urologist.
No. No?
Something else?
No, that's IP.
Oh, therefore
which is another am. Which is another tech term. But this week's Geek Speak of the Week is PPC, which stands for pay per click. Why is that important? Well, have you ever noticed that Google stock trades for about, $600 a share? And have you ever noticed that you've never actually given Google one penny as a user?
If you don't know what PPC is, you definitely have not.
Right? No, but I'm just saying in general, Google has this ridiculous valuation of $600 a share for their stock. Doesn't it strike you as kind of crazy that you don't actually pay them to do anything? You know, all millions and billions of people using it. And the reason that is because of PPC. The lion's share of the revenue that Google has made, the thing that built the empire that is Google today, is pay-per-click advertising.
Oh, the advertiser pays.
No different than what you're listening to right now, right? You don't pay to listen to this radio show. I mean, you would, because it's us, and who wouldn't, but...
And we're awesome.
Send your checks to... So, it is a very, very... If you're just getting started in any kind of internet marketing, you're going to supplement your existing marketing plan with an internet marketing plan, highly recommend you business owners that are not doing pay-per-click to start educating yourself on it, because it is a contextual advertising opportunity in that people that are searching for your product or service right at that moment, that's who sees your ads, not just people in general.
Yeah, imagine only showing your ad to people who actually probably are looking for what it is you're trying to sell right now.
Well, or if you're in a service business like ours, right? No amount of trying to explain to you why you need to be proactive about your computer has ever worked in the 22 years that I've been doing this.
Well, if it does, you're listening right now and you're on our Facebook fan page, and you're doing all kinds of things.
From a marketing standpoint, right? The traditional approach of trying to educate people on what the opportunities are and what have you. No, most people just ignore their computer until it's so bad that they can just barely get by, and that's when they're ready to get. Somebody, take a look at this. So in our situation, obviously it makes perfect sense for us to try to be where you're looking for us, which is, I mean, doesn't everything start with Google these days? You could jump on Google and start searching for whatever it is you're looking for. So
it doesn't start with those yellow things that you get?
Which yellow things?
Those big books they throw in the driveway?
Yeah.
How do I opt out of that, by the way?
Can you opt
side out? Rant? No, you can't. I wish I could.
You cannot, because they need to keep killing those trees so that they can claim that they have the circulation that they have.
You know what I do? I pick it up and I put it right in the recycle bin.
There should be some... There ought to be a law! Anyway, pay per click. Now, one of the things that we're talking about doing with Score is some additional educational
workshops. He wants to boost the music at the end. That's how the segment works, Ken. Come on!
Well, that's what I'm saying. PPC. We're going to do a workshop on PPC down the road. Okay, crank it up. See, I know this song, and I knew this break was coming up.
You have no respect for the flow of the show.
Hey, I am as oingo boingo as it gets, okay?
Hey, at least one of those
all
things.
Right. Anyway, pay-per-click, if you don't know it and you're in business, you should probably make that one of your homework assignments. And if you need help, we'll continue to try to provide education for you in various formats and maybe in a workshop or whatever. So
somebody's scribbling it down on paper right now. Look up pay-per-click. What, pay-per-click? Paper? No.
PPC.
PPC.
Pay per click.
All I can think of is pay-per-view for some reason.
Bottom line is, since Google built their empire on it, maybe if you as a business owner, shouldn't you maybe look into why it's so compelling and so ridiculously effective and...
You know what I found strange is I actually got mail from Facebook the other day talking about their ads. They actually mailed something to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like postal mail?
Postal mail from Facebook.
Well,
Facebook has gone postal. Hey, let's go back to the phone, shall we? These people have been waiting forever.
We've got Mark, who has been here for so long. It actually, I'm sure, physically hurts his ear. Mark, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Mark?
Thank you. I have two questions, if I can.
Sure.
One is, I have a Norton 360, and it constantly goes through, like, full system scans?
Yeah, that's not one of our favoritist programs.
Okay.
Maybe that's a feature because they do call it 360, right? So it just goes around and around and around in circles.
They should have called it 365 because it's going to chew up processing power the entire year. It's one of those programs that was designed to try to cover every possible aspect of security for your computer. In so doing, it's like throwing a really wet blanket on you in 110 degrees. It's not real comfortable.
Okay.
There's any number of issues and possibilities of why it's doing what it's doing. We prefer lighter footprint antivirus and security software that basically doesn't kind of overwhelm the machine. How old is your machine, by the way?
It's a Dimension E510.
And hey, I have no idea what that means. How old is it?
It's probably about 4 years old.
Okay. So anything, now something, you know, this is big, broad lesson for anybody out there. The older your computer is, the more likely you're going to have a problem if you get today's antivirus software and put it on a four-year-old computer with the processing power of 4 years ago, because all the code that's written today, they're kind of assuming you have an up-to-date processor. They're assuming that there's a lot more possibility of power there, and so they write extra code in. And then, so when you combine an old machine, and unfortunately, 4 years old means it's about 16 computer years old, you know, this type of thing can happen. But if it's just constantly cycling and trying to scan, are you letting this thing go to sleep at night?
Yes.
Okay, so a lot of times that will prevent it from doing its scans. And so when you wake up and start to use the computer again, it says, well, I got to finish my scan. And it's just kind of jumping back in when it can. So you might want to think about, just temporarily at least, just to see if it helps with this particular issue, turn off all that power saving for tonight and see if it runs through everything tonight just fine on its own. You understand what I'm saying? It never gets a chance to finish, so it starts up again every time you wake your computer up.
Yes, I have done that, though.
You have done what?
Let it run all night.
And?
And it seems like every time I go on the internet, it wants to do another scan.
A scan of the entire system?
It says full system scan.
Okay, well then it sounds like maybe a setting has been changed in there, and that's again...
Yeah, it's either getting interrupted or it's just set to scan full scans all the time. And by default, usually it's set to do it like once a night and at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So either something got changed or it's getting interrupted in the process and it has to start all over again.
Do you know how to check that in the scheduling section of the software?
I thought I did. I tried it. It doesn't... I have it doing it one day a week and it...
Okay, so unfortunately, getting specific with your situation, we don't have time on the air. So hit Google and say Norton 360 constantly scanning. Just search for all the different people that are having the similar situation to see if any of those circumstances replicate what you've got going.
And it's probably going to be something specific with the combination of things you have. So the operating system you're running, probably Windows XP, whatever version of Service Pack you have, all kinds of different things in there that layer this complexity up.
Are you a Facebook fan of ours? Because if so,
yes.
I can post a link to a Google search for you if you'd like, if you just want to look on our Facebook page. How's that work?
I'm on your Facebook page now.
All right. So watch for it shortly. As soon as I get over getting crushed by Ross's comment.
Can I ask one other question?
Tell you what, I will put you on hold where I found you. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let Mark ask his second question. And
maybe, only if it's good enough.
So I'll find out off the air with a second
question. We'll answer it for him on or off the air, but anyway.
Either way.
Yeah.
So you stick around. You stick around. We'll all stick around. We'll be right back.
And thanks again for joining us here on a beautiful holiday weekend. It's the Computer Corner. The Data Doctor's here talking camera phone tips and tricks.
We're just talking smack.
Talking smack. By the way, there's another cool app out there. This is a free one that you can use even with like an old, it's not a dumb phone, but a phone without a lot of smarts, like a regular camera phone.
Right.
It's a program and a system called SnapTel where you can actually take a picture of something and think of it as a visual search engine. So you can say, take a picture of something, send it to them through a text message. So you have to have MMS. You know, the ability to send a picture through text messaging.
Right.
Or a smartphone with the application loaded on it. It'll actually go try to figure out what it is. So if it's like a product or a building or something, it's kind of like what Google Goggles is trying to do, only more marketing intensive. So you're looking at a product, you want to know more about it, bottle of wine, whatever. Just take a picture of it. It goes out and gets a bunch of information for you based on the picture.
Yeah, Google used to have that search thing where you could text to the word Google, but drop a letter or something like that, whatever, and then it would text you back. Like, you could text for sports scores, a movie play, what time's a movie showing or whatever.
Yeah, but this one does it based on the picture.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, same thing. If you know, or if you want to get book reviews on a book, click on the picture of the cover and off you go. So before we went to break, we were talking to Mark, right?
Yeah, and
He's got a really good question.
I talked to him off the air, and I said, you have a really great question. We're going to get you right back on, and then Mark went away. So his question was, and I'll just ask on his behalf, and Mark, if you can just listen, then this will be easy. He wanted to know, he has an iPhone 3GS, and he takes all these cool photos, and then what? He can't figure out how to get them off the iPhone and onto his computer, and to us it seems like duh, but yeah, that's kind of a good question.
So he had a Windows XP machine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But are they cooler pictures than the ones that I posted on our Facebook page?
Almost definitely.
According to the listeners, yes.
No, just that one picture.
Everybody else, do me a favor. Jump in there and tell them that Rick's right.
It's not Rick. You mean Ross.
Was it Ross? I thought it was Rick. Well, it starts with an R. Whatever.
Ross, Rick.
Okay, so anyway. So question number two. By the way, I did post for you, Mark, the Norton 360 link. A little discussion there on one of the Yahoo forums, so hopefully that'll help you.
From a bunch of Yahoos?
Yeah, a bunch of Yahoos.
So you've got your stuff on your phone, and you want to figure out how to get it off. The key to most everything, well, there's a couple of ways, but the big key to everything is, remember when you got the iPhone and you had to like set it up and register it? You got this little piece of software for free called iTunes? That's how you get things on and off the phone.
Well, and once you have it all installed properly, you can just open up, you plug your phone in, open up your My Computer icon. You'll see an actual iPhone device there that you can double-click on and get right to the camera pictures.
Yeah, you can do it that way.
And just copy them over, you know, like through Windows.
iTunes, you can set it up to, you know, like every night, plug your phone in, let it charge on your computer, and at the same time sync and back up and get all your photos off and your music on and all that kind of cool stuff. So
I like doing it myself.
All right.
I get to control the outcome.
Or you can always email it to yourself or text it to somebody who can then save it, or I don't know. There's lots of ways to get it off there. So,
hey, the 90s call. They want their picture transfer system back.
did we kill another half an hour?
We did.
So that means we have half an hour left?
Yeah, but you know what? We've got some really, really cool stuff to talk about, including, I pitched it earlier, what do you do if you forget to log out of your Facebook page? Back after this. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. As I was fumbling, trying to get out to that last break, I was trying to explain that a very common situation for all of us that are active on Facebook is that you forget to log out of a machine, like at home or at the office or, heaven forbid, out on a coffee shop or library or friend's house or whatever, right?
That could be not good.
We already know examples of people that forgot to log out of their Facebook page, and people that worked with them tormented them, right, Ben? So most people don't realize, that's our head whack of the week on our newsletter this week, most people didn't realize that Facebook added a feature that allows you to see if you are still logged in or you still have active sessions running on other machines.
So wait a minute. If you had the wherewithal to remember to check to see if you were logged in on other machines, wouldn't you logged out?
No. When you get home, you're going, crap.
Maybe I forgot to log out.
I did forget to log out of the office, and I don't want those people that are cleaning the building to get in there and mess with it. So you basically just go to your accounts, you know, the little account pull down.
Wait, I'm going to do this live while you're doing this.
Do it live. Accounts. Then you go to account settings.
Account settings. I'm there.
Underneath that, you'll see account security. And you click on change. And by the way, it's all step-by-step in our newsletter. And if you don't get our newsletter, then whatever.
Login notifications. So, get notified. Ooh.
So it'll show you. You can turn on the notification. There's another thing that people don't realize. You can actually turn on login notifications so you get either a text message or an email every time somebody logs into, every time you log into your Facebook account, or if anybody logs into your Facebook account. In other words, hey, wait a minute, I'm not on Facebook. I just got an alert saying somebody logged in with my account. So it allows you to quickly jump to action. The other thing is it shows you your most recent activity. It shows you the last accessed for that particular session, the potential location, and the location is based on an ISP's point of presence. It has nothing to do with the physical location. So, like, my house in Mesa shows up as being in Chandler because I connect through Cox's Chandler facility.
And right now it says I'm in Mesa, Arizona, which is obviously wrong.
Right. We're downtown Phoenix.
Uptown.
Uptown. And then it shows you the device type. So the first one on here shows Firefox and Windows XP, and the other one shows the Facebook Touch, right, which is my iPhone.
Hmm.
And so any of those that I want to kill, I can just say end activity, and it kills that session. How's that for a tip of the week?
That's not horrible.
There's a lot of people out there, I'm sure. That's, you know, oh, yeah, that happens to me all the time. By the way, as long as we're talking about tips of the week, our newsletter tip of the week is a cool little piece of software for those of you that have the same problem I have. If you've got a laptop, you got that touchpad, and you're typing away, and next thing you know, your palm area just accidentally grazes just the edge of the little touchpad, which causes the mouse to move, and then you're typing, and now you're suddenly typing on a different part of the page, and it's so aggravating. Gentleman that had that same problem came up with a free little utility you can install that basically monitors your typing, and as soon as you start typing, it temporarily disables the touchpad while you're typing.
Pretty smart way to solve that problem, huh?
Where can you get that? In our newsletter, of course.
What if I wasn't signed up for the newsletter? Then what would I do?
I don't know. You have any ideas?
No.
What can they do?
I don't know.
We have our newsletter archives on our just all over the place. Everywhere you sign up for our newsletter, you can see the archives. So you can see the last 10 editions, including last night's. Because there are some people that have ISPs that are not sophisticated, and they basically any mass-mailed emails are basically stripped out. So we know people have tried to subscribe, and they can't. So that's another way to get to that information. So anyway, lots of great information. I think it's probably one of the best newsletters we've done all year. I'm just saying.
Yesterday's?
Yeah.
It was monumental?
It was pretty monumental.
Wow.
News story in there, too. Those of you trying to figure out what am I going to do as far as I got an iPad, I got all these different things that I want to connect to the internet, and I don't want to go spend $60, $80 a month. I don't have a phone that I can tether to. I don't have a phone I can use as a hotspot. The folks over at Virgin Mobile, same, you know, what's his name, Sir Richard Branson with the Virgin Airlines and Virgin Music.
I don't buy the whole Virgin thing, by the way.
I don't either.
But anyway.
Have you seen him? How could that be?
Yeah.
They have a new MiFi. It's a mobile hotspot that you can get that has no contract. It's like $40 a month, and it's all you can eat, which is completely different than everyone else out there that has the 2 to 5 gigabyte limitation.
Hey, Lewis, you should buy one of those and give it to me.
Information
Information
is in there. By the way, if you're a Gmail user, they launched the priority inbox for you power users where you can actually start to have the system use artificial intelligence to figure out, okay, this is somebody you interact with a lot of the time, so they're going to show up at the top, and here's a place that you've emailed a lot, so we're going to put that at the top, and it basically prioritizes your messages for you automatically.
Wait, but if you're like a freak and on that thing,
mm-hmm.
You would never have anything unread because you'd be on top of it, so why would it need to be at the top? I mean, that's just kind of silly, isn't it?
No.
It's not silly?
No.
In my imagination, it's silly.
You, my friend, are a freak that can touch every mail message one time. You are the exception, not the rule.
No, you know what I do, and I don't know why people don't do this more. People think it's weird. Well, it probably is, but if you need to deal with it again later, just right-click, mark it as unread, and leave it for later, and that way anything that's unread is something you still need to deal with, right? Or no? Is that crazy? It is crazy.
This is along the lines of backing up every day. This is along the lines of making sure that you maintain your computer. This is along the lines of, you know, go see the doctor once a year.
I'm a freak.
You're a freak.
All right.
One other little thing here. Let's talk about our mobile app of the week. Every week we try to bring you a little mobile app that you can think about. This is for Android or iPhone users, in theme with today's discussion about camera phones. No.
Photography, metalmatavishi?
Camera phone, yes. Yes.
Palooza.
Right. Photoshop. Yeah, that really $800, $900 really expensive software that's out there.
Right.
You can get a Photoshop Express for your mobile phone for free.
I can't even figure out how to use the full one, and you're going to have me use this thing?
Well, it does like four things.
Oh.
You can like crop and tilt and do some other minor things. But, I mean, it's nice to have if you really want to. You know, you took a picture of something and there's a bunch of stuff on the outside you don't want. You can crop all that stuff out before you email it or post it or do whatever.
If I take a picture of Lewis, can it make him look like Amanda?
That would be an amazing piece of software, I would think.
Because that's what I want.
Well, that's where the...
I mean, not necessarily Amanda, but I'm just giving that as an example.
He's kind of weirding me out today.
He is. But you know what? BlendCam could do that to a certain respect. It's just that Amanda would have a 5 o'clock shadow.
Well, that might be interesting.
Check out all of those things, including our link to our our Geek Speak of the Week, which was PPC, in yesterday's newsletter. datadoctors.com/help. You can see archives if you're not a subscriber.
And even though it's yesterday's newsletter, it's not yesterday's news.
No.
It's today's news.
And today. I just posted a link on your site to the iPhone update, which will be coming out next week, which includes the HDR photography.
Now, that will be awesome. For those of you that did not hear about this, the next generation of the iPhone operating system is going to incorporate new technology for the camera phone where it can actually take... It takes three different shots of the same thing at the same time or something like that.
And it combines them.
Yeah, it's an underexposed, overexposed, and the regular version. And then it does some crazy math, I guess, to figure out.
What do they call it? They call that high dynamic range, HDR.
It's really good at math, is what you're saying.
It is very good at math.
And somehow that makes a good picture.
It's a crazy algorithm.
Beyond crazy. And those of you still struggling with my really crappy version of the tilt-shift example. We have both a video example and a bunch of stills that I think you have a much better idea of the coolness of tilt shift, and I will take my garbage photo down that's scaring people away.
Yeah, because it didn't do anything justice for tilt shift at all.
All right, back to the phones?
At all. I mean at all.
No, not back to the phones. We have time? You want to tease it?
We could ask William what's up, and then we can find out where we're going to go from there. William? Thank you for being so patient with us. I know that you've been there for, oh my gosh, I have no idea how long, but what can we do to help?
Well, I have a XP machine and a Windows 7 machine. I have them connected to where printer sharing works, but I can't get files back and forth.
Is the printer sharing going through, is the printer physically connected to one of the machines and it's sharing through that, or is it on a printer?
It's sharing through the XP machine.
So the XP machine actually has the printer connected to it.
Yes, so they're actually talking to each other somehow.
You want to share files between the two, and that's not happening for you?
Right.
Okay. Have you made sure that the same username exists on both machines with the same password?
Username. Okay.
Yeah, so if it's like Joe... And like, the password is monkey?
You may not think of it as a username because when your machine comes up, you may just click on, you know, a picture of a soccer ball that has the word Joe under it or whatever the case is, right? In your case, William or Bill or whatever, right? So the same user needs to exist on both machines, or you need to enable something called the guest account. This gets a little bit painful, but...
Are you the only one that uses both machines, or you have to...
Right.
Okay. If you're the only one that uses both machines, make sure both machines have the same username and the same password.
Okay.
And you're going to have to do that through the control panel, and...
There's actually an easier way to probably solve your problem, which is going to be, are you handy at all with Google?
Yeah, at all.
you've heard of Google, right?
I use it. I'm not great at it.
Okay, so... There are a number of sites that give step-by-step instructions for making work what you're trying to make work. Specifically, if you go into Google and type in networking, XP, Win7, something like that, you're going to find step-by-step with screenshot probably, here's how you do it from both ends. Well, this is a super common question, and it's going to be a lot easier with that kind of instruction.
How large of a set of files did you want to share?
Well, I just... have some stuff I want to get back and forth,
Okay, you know what? We're going to put you on hold because there's a possibility that there's an easier or better way to do this than what you're trying to do. So we're going to put you on hold. We're going to go to break. You know, there's a number of ways to share stuff without having to go through all the complexity of a home network these days.
You're thinking floppy drive, aren't you?
Ooh, yes, I am.
No, you're not.
It's the computer corner. We've got actually a little bit of computer. It's really not a corner. It's kind of a half circle, but we're here for you. We'll be right back after this. Cranking through another Saturday afternoon here, the Data Doctors on the Computer Corner. If you have a camera phone, especially a smartphone, and especially if you have an iPhone, you must visit our website and look at all the links to all the cool little programs, including one called Knocking Video, where you can do a direct live stream a video between two phones so that when I'm out looking for something that my wife wants me to buy and she wants it to be a specific color and a specific brand and whatever, I can literally connect to her phone from mine, stream the live video, and actually show her what I'm looking at. And she can go, yeah, that's it.
That's like futuristic and such.
It's like here now, dude. Back to the phones here. We have...
We were talking to William before we went to break, and you were going to give him some ideas of alternatives to a network in case he gets frustrated and just doesn't want to deal with all that.
So let me make sure I understand the depth and breadth of what you're trying to do here. You have a handful of files you want to be able to share between these two machines from time to time. Is that correct?
Correct.
Are they documents? Are they music? Are they video? What are they?
Mostly documents.
Mostly documents. And so these documents are documents that from time to time you might want to make a change on one machine or another?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you do it the old way or use a sneaker network or even a local area network, if you have both documents on two different machines and you make a change on one of them and don't remember which one has the latest change, it kind of creates some consternation, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay? So the whole world is moving to a lot of what are called cloud computing options. And the Google reference that Brandon made earlier, there's also something called Google Docs, where you can actually upload these documents to a special private account for yourself. And not only are you able to access it very easily from the two machines at home, you're able to access it from any machine that connects to the internet anywhere in the world.
Ooh, and something else. You just accidentally made a backup off-site.
So if it's really, really critical information and you really want the flexibility, you might want to consider something like that, right? Because now the document doesn't reside only in these two machines and you got to remember which one's which. You actually created a copy, an offsite copy, especially if it's important. And this is really great for business owners, right? So now you have these really important documents. You have a copy in a safety deposit box, if you will. It's virtual.
And you can import all your existing documents, and you can if somebody makes a change and saves it, and oops, we like the old version, you can go back and unwind the changes and all kinds of things.
It's really cool. Spreadsheets are really cool, too, because it keeps track of who made what changes. So if you wanted to actually collaborate with others down the road, you want to share this with somebody, and they're going to work on it with you, makes it really, really easy. Anybody in the world can help you with this document as long as they have a Google account.
Well, for what I want to do right now... I'm not sure about that, but I can see some reasons to get up to speed on it. Cause
yeah, I mean, it's a lot of things that right now you're probably not thinking in terms of this, that, and the other. Now, the other sneaker network, and we made fun of the floppy drive, but today's version of the floppy drive is the little flash drives.
Yeah, but that does cause problems of remembering what's where.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we were only suggesting that if you... attempt to and cannot solve your networking issue and you don't want to bring somebody in to help you sort of professionally, then there's some alternatives that might get you close to what you want.
Yeah, well, I've used the flash drive thing and it's...
Oh, yeah, but that's fine. Google Docs is not the only way to do that. You can actually create a virtual drive on any number of online services. Dropbox is another one where basically it basically becomes your server. But it's just on the internet instead of one of the two machines.
Microsoft has a product out that's a beta product. It's free called Microsoft Live Mesh that lets you sign up on both machines and do something called syncing. So it will take the files that are on one machine and sync them onto the other, plus a copy stored in the cloud.
Uh-huh.
So that's another possibility. All these things now, what you originally called about and what you were trying to do, there are four or five reasons why this may not be working. One is a permissions issue. One's a sharing issue. There's the difference between the two operating systems, how they handle things. There's just so many things that you may get stuck down that road. So we're trying to toss out some alternatives, some other ways to do what it is you're trying to accomplish.
How hard is it to learn about FTP sites?
Oh, forget FTP. There's so many other ways to do it. I mean, that's even more complicated.
I'm not talking about for this.
All right, we'll put you on hold, and we'll, as the music is telling us, oh, and the echo's gone when you put them on hold.
That's weird. Some people, we had that phone echo.
Yeah. Maybe they're calling from the 20s.
You hang out there, Mr. William, for the rest of you. If you missed any part of the show, anytime online, datadoctors.com/radio. And if you want to find Lewis during the week, Lewis, how do they do that?
MacMediaInc.com.
All the resources for camera phone fanatics, check it out, datadoctors.com/radio. Again, we're going to be broadcasting from New York on 9/11 next week, so we hope you join it for that. Thanks for joining us today. It's the Data Doctor saying, if you don't need it, don't install it!